is the Black Sea brute, bullying through wave rack, ancient as ocean's shifting hills, who in sea toils traveling, who furrowing the salt acres heavily, shoulders spouting, the fist of his forehead over wastes gray-green crashing among horses unbroken from bellowing fields. Past bone wreck of vessels, tide ruin, wash of lost bodies, bobbing, no longer sought for, and islands of ice gleaming. Who, ravening the rank sea flood, wave marshalling, overmastering the dark sea marches, finds home and harvest. Frightening to foolhardiest mariners, his size were difficult to describe. The hulk of him is like hills heaving, dark yet as crags of drift ice, crowns cracking in thunder, like land's self by night, black looming, surf churning and trailing along his shores rushing, shoal water boding about the dark of his jaws. And who would moor at his edge and fare on afoot, would find gates of no gardens, but the hill of dark underfoot diving, and closing overhead the cold deep and drowning. He is called Leviathan and named for rolling. First created he was of all living creatures. He has held Jonah 3 nights and days. He is that curling serpent that in ocean is. Sea fright he is, and the shadow under the earth. Days there are, nonetheless, when he lies like an angel, although a lost angel, on the waste's unease. No eye of man moving, bird hovering, fish flashing, creature, whatever, who after him came to herit earth's emptiness. Froth at flanks seething soothes to stillness, wait. With one eye he watches dark of night sinking last. With one eye day rise, as at first over foaming pastures. He makes no cry, though that light is a breath. The sea curling, star climbed, wind combed, cumbered with itself. Still, as at first it was, is the hand, not yet contented, of the Creator. And he waits for the world to begin. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is time for the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on radio. Yes, dear fiends, this is your horrifying, irritating horror host, Dr. Howland Owl, greeting you once more here on Listener Confounded Radio Valencia. Our mission in the mission to transmit that which makes a fission from the dull and ordinary, and results in being contrary. And tonight we have tales from many disreputable adventurers and many untrustworthy adventurers. But it is St. Valentine's Day, and for all the lovers, we at the Ask Dr. Hal Show extend a feeling of joy, a fellow feeling, a feeling of exulting in love and its strange suggestion that because of it, nothing else matters. In my craft and sullen art, exercised in the still night, while only the moon rages and the lovers lie abed, with all their griefs in their arms, I labor by singing light. Not for ambition or bread, or for the strut and trade of charms on the ivory stages, but for the common wages of their most secret heart. Not for the proud man, apart from the raging moon, I write on these spindrift pages. Nor for the towering dead with their nightingales and songs, but for the lovers, their arms round the griefs of the ages, who pay no praise, nor wages, nor heed my craft or art. Leviathan by W.S. Merwin. Translated from the Anglo-Saxon, Merwin often enjoyed translating poems from before the invasion of William the Conqueror, when our language was quite different. And yet these had adumbrations of early and faithful Christianity, just a foothold in the coming age of faith, which would not be overthrown for many centuries. And the poetry of Dylan Thomas, another guiding light to the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on radio.
We've got to eliminate the sludge and call out the cleans and gliders.
That's right, let's call Palmer up.
The world ends tomorrow.
Yeah.
For Palmer, the world ended already. For Palmer, the world ended 15 years ago when he first found out that everything wasn't wonderful where he was all the time.
Oh, you'd be rather sad if...
You will you become a doctor? You may already have SNAP from the information disease. The sleep of reason begets monsters and all that.
Wait a minute, that's a Goya painting.
Yes, that's right. It's the beginning of the Goya painting.
It's actually a lithograph,
ladies. Yes, it's an etching, not a painting. Goya
before that, well,
that's okay. We don't. A Goya? What is a Goya?
Well, you go your way and I'll go mine.
And that one's as old as Methuselah.
Yes, little Neanderthal is still there. He's struggling to be heard.
I can't redefine words to express his content.
Francisco Goya.
Your subliminal vision.
The great artist.
Well, what, Napco? What?
Great.
What is that subliminal vision?
I have to say that I have something to say.
Well, come on to the show.
If you have something to say, then this is the place to be saying it.
ETA.
Yes, ETA of...
I'm Smith.
And I'm Jones.
And we're conducting an experiment to see if cigarette butts are, in fact, trash. We're here at a local coffee shop where we've secretly snuck a cigarette butt into this woman's coffee.
There's a cigarette butt in my...
Hello, ma'am.
Did you... What the... You just ruined my mocha chocolata yaya.
It appears that cigarette butts are, in fact, trash.
Ma'am, that cigarette butt is yours. We saw you toss it from your car on the freeway.
Oh, well,
rain can wash trash on the freeway into our rivers, lakes, and the ocean.
Don't trash California, ma'am.
A message from the Caltrans Stormwater Program.
FCC Free Radio, San Francisco's alternative radio on 107.3 FM. And listen online at fccfreeradio.com.
Took some doing, but now it's time for some Ask Dr. Hal show live on FCC Free Radio.
Oh boy.
That's right.
Oh
you'll boy. Never know what the Ask Dr. Hal show is going to be like, look like, or sound like, but
or smell
now
like.
You can settle back, kick off your size 12s, and take a long, hard look at yourself for having the time to listen to this radio show, the Ask Dr. Hal show. With Puzzling Evidence and K-Rob and an entire host of non-entities who don't happen to be physically present.
And so that's not very nice.
Well, Philo Drummond.
Well,
here's Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, but Jerry, Pete, and Philo weren't able to attend tonight. Pete is having a banquet for the Benevolent Order of Firemen.
Philo's in his last night of being at Disneyland.
Happiest place on earth.
He's living that music that we're listening to right now in his soul.
Yes, he's getting goofy with Donald and Mickey, Clarabelle, and all the rest. Here in the hallowed halls of Ask Dr. Hal, we're aspiring to a higher and lonely destiny.
And one neat thing is we're, 50 feet from where the live Dr. Hal show
used to
you
be.
You don't need to tell them that.
No, it's not what the number is at all. Now, what is the number?
Well, there's a
something. Hey there, Pirate Cat, you're peaking.
I'm terribly sorry. This is not, repeat, not the radio station you think it is. This is FCC Free Radio. Pirate radio station, but are you certain that you're calling the one you intended to call?
Hey, thanks, Hal. You're on it, buddy.
Well, I'm a trying, but you know,
he's
on it, unless you're
with the roar of a half-crazy lion.
On the radio, listening on the computer or the radio.
Oh, fully contrary, the girl that I marry must be.
Well, I'm not on yet.
Oh, okay.
You're not?
No, they're not on yet. They're not even listening yet.
Wait. You're not listening?
No.
Oh, what's the purpose? If you've got radio
there
and there's nobody
listening,
talk about futility.
Hey, stop that. There's somebody watching. Well,
they're looking.
I'm somewhat at sea here, at odds with understanding some of the technical aspects of the underwater radio show.
Tonight I'm going to be the guy on left-wing radio that's like, okay, everybody talk about me. I get to
talk about me.
Yes, it's another political
long time ago.
Talk radio really? Show with people in loud suits with loud voices yelling loud about the issues.
I think Mike and my mic might be a little bit hot.
Improving, but you're,
I'm not sure this
you're
is
overmodulating.
Yeah, I think our mics are just a little.
Smile when you say that, part. It's a poor workman who blames his tools.
Yeah, it's fuzzing out the top. It's
fuzz, eh?
Yeah, I can hear it in my headphones.
You mean fuzzling evidence?
Unregulated.
It's like it's super boomy at the bottom end.
Somebody's twisted my regulator.
No,
stop. And they're trying to pull my air hose off.
That's what we were trying to save you from.
Sweet refresh. All in underwater slow motion here on Sea Hunt Radio. Well, that'll be good after we get started, but we're still putting on
our slippers.
We're not
good questions on bad radio.
Bad.
Well, it's bad as in popular parlance, meaning good. Oh, well,
hey, it's bad. It's so bad. It's bad.
It's the call that made the meters spike out, by the way.
Oh, the caller was doing it all the time. He was complaining about us. Well,
now that he's gone, we can talk about him. Did you see what he was wearing?
Boy, that was loud Bermuda shorts.
From the Piscean age. I'm not used to these global warming fashions.
Yeah, give me a bite of those chips.
Between 1890 and 1927.
Hey, K-Rob, I got you some banana-flavored gummies.
She said, well, what do you talk about on your radio show? And thinking of that guy in the movie last night, I said...
Squawk.
I said, we just talk about me.
There's a movie last night?
There's a long pause.
What movie were you watching?
Me. Well, you have a microphone.
About me.
So we talk about you.
The beginning of Air America.
Oh, yeah. What a bunch of egotistical egomaniacs.
But if you haven't seen it, you should. You would appreciate it.
Well, I would have.
The
government flunkies.
Trying to start the government.
No, I didn't flunk the.
It's a monster.
I was failed.
Will
they failed me?
Topic of monsters when we get to it, but some dangers might also best
the caller probably
dangers associated with monsters. Yes.
Well, the caller didn't know that.
See, monsters just don't fit in, and that's what makes them dangerous.
Usual music feed. Now perhaps that hunger can be assuaged. A delicious, crunchy morsel known as the on-air Ask Dr. Howell.
I'm not going to eat K-Rob's banana crisps while I'm here.
Show or Ask Dr. Howell Show 2.0, and stay tuned for possible Ask Dr. Howell 3.0, although I'm not able to talk to Pete Goldie about it because he's not here, so I don't know what to do, but...
Pete Goldie, are you listening right now? Are you laughing?
No, he hung up.
He hung up. You see, he had that hang-up. But let me tell you. Let me just tell you a thing or two. Let me tell you about the upcoming show. My show. At 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's on Sunday.
Sorry, senor, we don't have chimichangas at this...
It's a sort of a...
Yes, I'm
well, you could call it a post-Valentine's show.
Well, I think you're
you know, I didn't even get a Valentine from a post. No, that's not exactly true.
And I'm sure.
But the show should be interesting. You know, last month we had a little bit of a technical malfunction where I wasn't able to appear at all on the show except in recorded bits. But I'll be alive. Oh, so that's the Ask Dr. Howell show. The home edition Sunday at 6 p.m. Just go to AskDrHal.com and then with one click you are keyed into the show and you can watch it. You can watch the cartoons, the fantastic special effects, a horrendous monster movie footage, and me, Dr. Howland Owl, as I chew the fat and try to set all that is wrong aright. That's the Ask Dr. Howell Show, home edition, this Sunday, February 16th.
This is a high-powered vehicle.
Yes.
You can hear them anytime you shut your eyes and concentrate on the inside of your eyelids. But I wouldn't mind.
I'm on the radio now, too.
Is but I don't get paid.
Hey, Pete says turn it up because the girls are talking too loud, okay?
Well, there's some girl who's talking and talking over me. I don't understand.
Can you tell us what kind of pajama bottoms you have on?
Am I going out? Nobody seems to be hearing me.
He's got pajama bottoms on. Don't worry about it.
The little collar.
He never takes them off.
You know what
talking about pajamas.
I don't
understand. Well,
hey, it's the cat's pajamas. The bee's knees.
Getting out.
I'm ready for my close-up. Can I have my close-up now? I'm ready.
I'm afraid you're
you could do that.
You're
we don't have the camera dimension.
Blocking everyone else, particularly me. But
I have an idea
here. That's the magic of radio. That we try to bring to
the happening sound, they call it.
Scientific technology.
I gotta go, because I'm
bounced off the heavyside layer.
Threat of melting Arctic permafrost.
Yes, the ionosphere is heading this way.
From the frozen tundra. And pollute the
frozen custard.
There even further. But we do welcome callers on FCC Free Radio, and we
which this isn't.
Give them our studio line number.
I'll give them a number, all right. I will.
513-5239. Repeat.
Forget that number. It's fake. Don't listen. Don't listen.
And now let's speak of the monstrous imbalances in nature and civilization.
Oh, yes, that's always a perennial topic.
What's wrong with the mixing board again?
Well, I think someone's been a little mixed up who's been up. No, not you, but whoever left these previous settings as they were.
And the switches are covered with honey and lard, with insects crawling. I just looked in the refrigerator. It's full of black mold, and it doesn't seem to be refrigerating at all. So things are... there are mosquitoes in here.
You say it happened. That's what radio is like. All we need to do is mention it.
And smack a bug. And there it is.
Mine.
Become regular.
Fighting still and still destroying. Fighting still and still destroying.
If the show be worth the winning, think, oh think, it's worth enjoying.
No, not so fast. You're not going anywhere.
Don Joyce won't let me go.
Sit back down. Sit back down. There, you're going to broadcast.
I protest. This is outrageous.
In phase two, we'd like more suggestions.
I think you should let him go.
Let him go. Okay. That was the suggestion.
Time to let go.
These rules appear to constantly change.
Okay, make him go.
His job is to inspect the roller coaster after
chop, chop, chop.
All right. Cut that collar off. Let's get it up.
You know what happened?
What happened?
Well, I found this mushroom tail. I guess someone's misplaced it.
Mushroom?
Found the mushroom.
Another mushroom story. Here it comes.
Yeah. When you were young, there were mushrooms.
And there were telephone stars and some kind of thing.
Dial telephones and mushrooms.
Mushroom.
Not this.
Everything looked like it was alive.
Under the spreading mushroom tree.
How do you do, little elf? I said.
So
and
vibrant.
What do you do all day?
I make keeper cookies.
He said. And I run around and play.
No, I
didn't. And I hide under my mushroom ball. Then Mr. Mower comes through. Not only just to frighten
me. We will be changing the rules at 3 o'clock. One more minute to go.
Oh, this is really dreadful.
Tick, tick, tock. It's 3 o'clock. And the rules, they all did change.
People don't get
and I
hold on
to my mushroom stalk because everything is strange.
Yeah. It's the mycelium. It's the stuff under the stalk that you gotta... You know, this talk about mushrooms reminds me of something. Something that now that I'm here doing this show, something I need to do.
They said they would. They stone you when you're trying to go home.
room. Then they'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking on the street. They'll stone you when you're trying to keep your seat. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. They'll stone you when you're at the breakfast table.
Breakfast.
They'll stone you when you are unable.
That's ableist.
They'll stone you when you're trying to make a buck.
Mercenary.
They'll stone you and then they'll say good luck.
Lots of luck.
Yeah, but I would not feel so all alone.
Tell it, man.
Everybody must get stoned.
Doug, introduce your own show. No, it's not my CI.
Oh, this is the Puzzling Evidence.
Puzzling Evidence.
Look how many eggs I can get in my mouth.
Stupid show.
It's the whole amalgam of stuff.
You'll figure that out.
With different flavors and varieties.
I am doing that all the time during the regular show, just like I'm doing it now.
You should also be dressed up like Aunt Bertha.
I don't whine.
I did once dress up like Aunt Bertha, and
no more wine.
Puzzling Evidence has the footage on that. But I like to say, all kidding aside, I might joke about getting stoned on the show, but of course it is utterly forbidden at Radio Valencia. It's an offense. You can be cashiered from the show with no appeal, thrown out into the cold. Your show ended chopped, just as if you were a federal government employee that Donald Trump decided he wanted to get rid of. That could happen, so it really wouldn't be worth it just to try to relax and smoke something on pirate radio, if that's what this is. Well, you know, There's no piracy involved. It's all open and above board. And it's not radio, as you know, because you're listening to it. It's a podcast, not a radio broadcast. And it's not on Valencia, despite the name. No, we're on 22nd Street. We're near Valencia. You see, it's all, we're hoping, we're aspiring to something. Ad astra per aspera. That should be the motto of Radio Valencia.
Of this mosque that Sinbad thought it saw. It was actually the egg of the rock. The gigantic bird
who darkens the
an egg. I did see a mosque, but not on this occasion. The giant rock.
No sampling.
The giant bird that nests on the peaks of Colossus. You know, that bird. That big bird. Not Sesame Street. A huge bird. A giant flying impossibility. And if you see it, you should say your prayers, because you probably will not survive the encounter. This was thought by Ibn Battuta, that famous traveler whose accounts we have of many amazing wonders of the world he inhabited. Ibn Battuta set out on his travels just around the same time that Marco Polo came back from his. But the incident which I am reminded of on this occasion is that he was on the ship and they were looking out toward the horizon when suddenly a huge mass of clouds in the distance rose up with great rapidity into the sky, and the captain said, "We are lost. That is the giant rook, and no one who sees it survives." Essentially, I'm parsing his words. And what was amazing was to see the sun shining under it. It was not, you know, it was a huge moving thing, whatever it was. But fortunately, the giant rook was not feeling aggressive that day toward one little ship containing one traveler and one captain and one lucky bunch of people.
It's good to be given a signal.
It's very interesting, and now
I thought so.
Puzzling evidence, doing his Don Joyce impression.
Don Joyce is right there, you know. Shouldn't be too many of them. Out of the ocean, onto the land. The fin becomes the foot, and the foot becomes the hand. Amen. Yes, the Church of Evolution and the Church of the Subgenius, various departments and bureaus are found within the giant organization, the sacerdotal and sacramental ordinance of the Church of the Subgenius operate together in an unusual fusion. But it should be remembered in this context that we, the Subgeniuses, are not a tax-exempt religion. The state does not recognize the provenance of the Church of the Subgenius. No, it does not. We are rogues. We are outlaws. Just like the concept of outlaw radio. Not that we'd ever want to outlaw radio, but the idea of pirate radio, the idea of a college radio station, a comfortable place with couches, and we do have a couch, where people can come and hang out and enjoy each other's company and they're not supposed to litter or leave cigarette butts behind or dirty the place up, because we pay a guy to come in and clean here at Radio Valencia. A hard-working fella. It's hard to believe that it's been so long. A couple of years now. It all happened before the plague, you know, COVID. The penultimate X-Day that I attended. at a place which now no longer exists, called the Land of Id. Run by a subgenius woman named Exanthia Octoshroom, the Land of Id was a nudist colony at the southern tip of the Okefenokee Swamp in the state of Florida. And there I went.
Monstrous movie is about to be shown, where we show gigantic animals rending and tearing each other, but
nature red in tooth and claw.
Kira has a special change on that theme. Instead of getting big, we're going to get real tiny, and we're going to see,
like Steve Martin.
I'm waiting for the guy to come up. We're going to see Ant versus Scorpion. Ant versus Scorpion.
Oh, they're saying, oh no, how dare they say yes, that? They should be honored to see this footage.
An ant, and you've also got a scorpion in the picture, not visible layers.
It's a terrifying scorpion. One of the most amazing ones ever put on the screen. And the ant is great.
So you see, this is a domesticated ant, which these micro-miniaturized brats have gotten to serve their
every need. They ride this ant
the
around.
The humans, ever sentimental, soon conceive of a fondness for their insect friend.
But you see, that's not... I mean, granted, the premise is...
...way through the incredibly dangerous backyard.
Full of crawling insects.
Gently falls,
and they are small in the insect world.
And the moon has the same as it looks. What's up here? The giant scorpion has come to the Lego, where these tiny kids are hanging out. That is unfortunate.
That scorpion is a masterpiece. You can see the scorpion anatomy working beautifully in it.
The Lego is pretty good, but there are problems even with that.
Stop motion animation, not computer animation.
And now we're going to see some arthropods tussling.
Yes, these exoskeletonous creatures are disputing.
This is an overmatched contest.
The scorpion's huge, the ant is small.
The scorpion is,
well, poor ant. You know, one has the pathetic fallacy. One feels sorry, even in these insect confrontations.
Yet he bravely defends his human friends.
There is that.
But there's that sting.
The ant brain is quite complicated. Oh, he's going to get stung to right in the thorax by that scorpion.
Not to be seen from this angle, but I think we've got a terrible sting about that.
Oh, the audience doesn't like it. Oh, well, I don't like it. Yeah, that nature is like that.
And only now do these kids want to defend their friend, the ant, after he's been already stung and is dying. You know, why didn't we just try it earlier? But no, they cowered in the Lego. So now they stuck him with a stalk or something.
Well, you always stick a stick at an animated monster. That is a tradition.
And so we see that when you interfere with nature, it always messes everything up. Thank you.
You see, they enjoyed it after all. Despite all that oh no at the beginning.
Seeing another one of K-Rock's monster movie magic
presentation. A little bright there.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, K. Rob's magic.
Right.
You know, he he edits
was
them.
Kind of an insect movie.
Yes, it was. It was insectile.
You know, I was really hoping that maybe the the ant would fart or so. I don't know. I was just trying to provide
that. Well, as I said before, they can't do that because, you see, they're not capable of defecating at will. It doesn't happen like birds. But with a different type of structure, once you can control the portals, then you have the problem of not being able to control the portals.
A peristalsis automatically occurs, but at a smaller scale and a different hydraulic problem.
This is an important question.
You know, capillary attraction.
How many slugs do a banana slug slug if a banana slug had a private militia?
Well, he doesn't. If he could slug,
How many slugs do a banana slug slug if a banana slug had a private militia?
How much would he pay them?
Well, of course, that, once again, completely unbalances the equation. And once you can pay for mercenaries to do your dirty work, you've essentially won. Look at modern American electoral politics, for example. Yes, it's true. Now the banana slug doesn't have to do anything but to make its will known. And this army of clodhoppers can reduce the other ones to a state of misery and defeat. Please don't tell me about the invisible hand of the free market in this context.
Okay, this is an interesting question. It's in two parts.
And he rips it in half. The old gags are the best gags.
Yes, it's in two parts.
Dr. Howe.
Yeah?
You know about chairs, right?
Chairs, tables, furniture.
Benches, wall, cabinets, floors.
Where did the first chair come from?
Well, you know, it all depends on what is intended, what is created as a chair, rather than what is used as a chair.
It's more than a seat. A chair is a specific...
It has a back, actually. A chair has to have a back.
Primitive forebears often sat on logs.
And rocks.
When they were tired.
And tufts of ground.
When they had grown away from the more expressive and animal gesture of hunkering down on their hands, as nature intended. No, already they're using technology of a sort. They're sitting on a stone, or they're sitting on a log. But the stone and the log are not chairs. What makes a chair? It has to have a back. And the back can't be the rock wall behind the rock, or the another log behind the log. It has to be appended, attached. It has to be there for that purpose. So, when these objects first started to be made as status symbols, no doubt, in the well-appointed cave, that was the first chair. And from then on, only the march toward perfection may be seen. Toward not the perfect chair here on Earth in this sublunary world, but toward the platonic ideal of the perfect chair. The perfect piece of furniture. Ergonomic, comfortable, stylish, and
You know, we haven't asked the callers their opinion of this unique electronic setup.
Well, that's because they haven't heard the double whistle yet. Here it comes.
Well, it might be that they don't have an opinion. Bless their little wooden heads.
Bless their little Bobby pseudo souls.
The fact is that except for
they're yelling, they're angry.
A few others out there, they can't even articulate their primitive wants and desires.
That's true. They're mere cookies, mere Bobbies and heads.
Now look at that. Just a little bit of derision causes the board to light up like the veritable brigade Christmas tree.
So we'll ignore them.
Well, I don't have the...
Ignorantia legis neminem excusa.
No, nobody does. Nobody except the Grand Inquisitor.
That's true.
How fit. What should you talk about first?
Big news, man.
What? CrossFit. You know about
Oh, I see. Well, boy, both of these things would be torture to listen to if you're but on the other hand, as an act of charity, you might want to let the CrossFit fan tell you all about their plan for personal superiority. Because that's what they're angling for. That's what they're after. And once they finish, they will feel a certain relief. Perhaps even be more kindly disposed to you. Although your patience with them will have been proportionately reduced. Anyway, I suppose you want to talk about the CrossFit program first, because anyone can imagine this idea of training, but it's harder to imagine the idea of circumscribing your eating until you're eating a stillborn bean sprouts, tree bark, and rock juice.
Let's get to the bottom. Let's get some politics in here. We don't get a lot of political.
How about parlor tricks?
But here's one. If America elected a female president, can we just get rid of Florida already? Can we just, like, you know, let the canal thing go and just let it kind of sink into the bottom?
Well, it's not so much that it's going to sink, but that the water around it will rise, and all that lowland will go. Another problem with agriculture is that it gets rid of the marshes and swamps, which are the natural barrier at the mouths of rivers, because the river and the ocean.
The bayou, I saw the last bayou in New Orleans. All the rest are gone.
Of the Sunshine State. But whether a president be female or male, nature will take its course. Perhaps you know the story of King Canute, whose flatterers told him that he was the greatest being in creation. They persuaded him, or perhaps
he alone could fix it.
Informed them by going out to the ocean and forbidding the tide to come in. Of course, it did come in and splash the bottom of his royal robes. So, whether the president, the chief executive, is male or female, unfortunately, we are in the digital age. And the internet has not only ruined political campaigns, but it has also essentially negated the office of the presidency itself.
Remember the Ask Dr. Hal show at the Odeon?
Sure.
Question? It's the beginning of the question.
Okay.
Which is written on an envelope, by the way. This is like a new fad.
They're running out of slips, is what that tells me. They need more slips. But let's have the whole of the question.
Remember the Ask Dr. Hal show at Odeon? Where we used to walk around and get drunk and talk loud, and chicken would shout at us to be quiet. And we would just get more drunk and ignore you. Do you remember? What the fuck happened?
What did happen? Time happens. Time has endless rarities and shows of all varieties, creates mutations and new forms, new shapes they still may weave, new laws, new gods, and receive.
No, I'll just kind of move over here.
Style was more important than substance.
Only one of us is gone.
Now, if everyone will notice, we now have three people on mic.
Three.
And notice how much cleaner and clearer it is.
Smaller, but cleaner.
None of this ugly overlapping that so often clogs your eardrums.
There's even less samples.
The unsightly noise of idle chatter.
You mean
this is clean.
You must mean the unsoundly noise. Well, it's all unsightly, isn't it?
Well, it can't be seen.
Did you have only apprehended?
Style was more important than substance.
Listens and receives.
It actually allows tapes to creep in between the various conversants.
The time it takes to make those tapes.
I don't understand why we have to throw in the cowl now.
Throw a towel over it.
Well, okay, so now what do we do?
Well, let's go on to a plane of virtual reality.
Alright. Our 2.0 show, and there we often have a bar where people can drink. But, you know, I don't see it so many places to be here when we live there. So you've got to expand your horizons, see? And not waste precious energy in wishing that time's clock ends would turn backwards. Who knows? We might eventually have show in a restaurant where you can order endless courses while listening to our endless discourses.
Well, how did you find that?
Holy shit. Yes, before we did the Odeon, Chicken and I put on a different game show every week.
It was a disaster.
Every week we built enormous sets and I don't know where we had all that energy.
We built enormous sets?
Well, swarming minions built enormous sets. But beyond that, some of these shows were a lot of fun.
Yeah, they were great.
Others were not so much fun because, they just weren't fun. Like, for example,
the Pearl, 18 years old right there. 18 years old.
We had our version of the Hollywood Squares, for example. But then we also had Make Me Puke, which was about how we could be so repulsive as we would cause people to do upchuck on stage. Or even worse,
they did chuck up
after that show.
Yeah, and we had the Tesla Challenge, where we gave audience members electric shocks.
That wasn't so well inspired either.
The most of failure, I think, it was the one where they were supposed to identify car parts. Various older models.
That went over like a lead balloon.
The best one of that series was we did a game show called What's Up My Butt?
Yes, it was prankish and proctological.
You pull your pants down a little bit, and we would put something between the cheeks, and you had 60 seconds to figure out what it was
before it exploded.
A giant desert scorpion.
Yeah. I just want you to know that it was like the buzzer went off like,
I mean centipede,
sorry,
not scorpion.
And this woman was like, well, what was it? And I pulled it out, and I held up this lobster claw.
It was lobster, huh?
You put a lobster claw in my butt.
That moment of realization, that's show business.
That was beautiful. That kept me going for a long time.
Well, maybe this piece will return again. But if they did, that would be because you, our beloved audience, would come and see these shows if we put them on boards again. But don't hold your breath.
I would like to just add to that question that every day I thank the whatever
Jesus
God there is that I do not own a fucking bar anymore.
Well, that sets the bar pretty low.
Yet, that being said, isn't there some sort of celebration coming up?
Celebration.
On May 30th, we'll mark the 10-year anniversary of me closing the Odeon, and I've rented the knockout for the next year to be the Odeon. Open the public, you're welcome to come, raise your glass, to me not owning that fucking shithole anymore. Holy shit.
Well, so you'll see you can go and reenact your childhood at the Odeon.
We have a great question here from Matt.
Matt?
And whenever K-Rob is done, get on with the show.
You're the ninth caller. But you're going to miss it.
I dumped
you
him.
Don't listen.
Who needs him? Get rid of him. I just want it to be you and me, Rob. Right here under some soft, luscious music. I'm talking about this event that's coming up. I'm going to throw myself right in the middle.
Well,
Figure out the angle to work with. Give it a chance. Give it a chance. Maybe some lighting. Maybe a couple more drinks. I don't know.
Give it a chance, fellas.
Well, this question better be good if you're...
I think it's a great question. This would be the best question you've had.
From the Best Western Motel.
30 seconds. Okay. Matt would like to know what the relationship is between the moon and the ocean. In Nordic mythology.
Well, the Nordic peoples were accustomed to the tidal pull of the moon on the ocean. When you set out in the long ship on a Viking raid, you need the tide to be going out. And you need to be coming in as you come in. You need not so much to make nature work for you as to get a piggyback ride on these mighty forces. And it was said that the Earth itself, according to the Nordic myth cycle, was like a block of salt licked into shape by the enormous primordial cow, which was one of the first beings ever to exist. Later on, when this cow was slain, the blood and liquids from its body became the world in girdling ocean. But I say unto you that without the moon, none of us would be here. And in the entire saga of the search for extraterrestrial or non-terrestrial life, we have to factor in that one thing this planet has, besides being just in the right zone for water and all of that, and a nice steady sun that doesn't have histrionics and just allows a steady heat to go for billions of years. We have a moon which pulls on the ocean and keeps it alive, gives it tides, and its seething, living mystery. Without that, it would be a big, stagnant pond, and life, if it developed at all, would not be what we have.
Probably
here.
A greenhouse
and
effect would
ultimately occur. Some hidden knowledge in us all that the moon is something to which we owe that living debt.
And when it hits your eye like a big pizza pie,
the life giver, the sun.
I just shot up for that question. Where is that?
There's no decaf. That's good, because I want people up and buzzing for this. This is going to be out of sight and over
coffee.
The top.
That's right. Over the.
Why isn't there a coffee machine in here?
We're going to start at 10. We're going to be there live. This is your chance.
Got a shock there.
Radio
connection is not too
how
good.
How old we are and what we look like.
Especially when
what do you look like? I mean, what are you looking
for? I remember some things from pretty far back, too. I'll talk about the 50s. Eh?
Golden age.
Oh, yeah. I can.
40s, huh?
Talk about the golden age.
We'll talk about the 30s, huh? Yeah. What are they laughing at? It's not funny to be this old. My car is dead. It's like a symbol, you know? Here it comes, death. First your car, then you.
Oh, that's just a non-functioning clunker.
But I digress.
And playing over the edges on opening hours, staying open till 3, just so you could hear the click, the telephone click.
That's right.
Power goes off right at that moment.
We are not fooling.